Parshas Ekev, there's 2 points I'd like to bring out from the Pesukim. In Perek Yud, Pasuk Ches, the Torah tells us, Ba'is ha'hi hivdil Hashem as Shevet HaLevi. At this time, Hashem separated Shevet Levi. Lasei says, Aron bris Hashem, to carry the Aron, la'amod lefnei Hashem l'sharso u'levarech b'shmo, and to stand before Hashem, to serve Him, and to levarech b'shmo ad hayom hazeh. The pasuk continues. The next pasuk, Al kein lo haya le Levi chelak v'nachla emechov. Therefore, Levi didn't have a chelak, didn't have a portion among his brothers. We know that the Eretz Yisrael was divided up among the Shvatim. Shevet Levi didn't have their own portion. Why not? Because the pasuk tells us that Hashem had separated them. Their service was lo seisas aron bris Hashem la amod lefnei Hashem l'shosu. They were supposed to serve God. Says Rashi, pointing out what seems to be so obvious, but the depth of Rashi teaches us a profound lesson in our avodas Hashem. And listen carefully. Says Rashi, lefisha huvdulu la'avodas mizbeach. Since they were separated la'avodas mizbeach, ve'einon pinuyin lachrosh v'lizra, they didn't have free time to plow and to put seeds into the land. In other words, says Rashi, why didn't they get a land? You know why? Because for them there was no purpose. What were they going to do with land? They didn't have time to plow. They didn't have time to grow the farm. They didn't have time for any of that. And therefore, they didn't get a piece of land. It's a simple explanation. The pasuk is telling us they had another job, so they didn't get a piece of land. But there's a profound lesson here. The Ribbono Shel Olam is telling us that everything we have is because we need it. We need to use it in some productive way. And everything that we don't have, it's not because somebody else is better. It's not because they deserve it more. It's because we don't need it. The Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, Shevet HaLevi doesn't get land because they don't need it. And for their purpose in this world, they don't need to have land. So we're not going to give it to them. Everything that we have is given to us to use as a part of our avodas Hashem. And everything that's not given to us, it's because we don't need it for our avodas Hashem. You know, sometimes we look at other people and we say, oh, look, that person has this, and I want to have that, and I feel bad that I don't have it. It's okay. If Hashem wanted you to have it, if you needed to have it, you would have it. Why don't you have it? It's because for your role in this world, you don't need it. And when it comes the time that you will need it, Hashem will give it to you. That's the message of Rashi. Everything we have is to be used in Avodas Hashem. And if we don't have it, then we didn't need it. Don't worry. At the end of Malachim Aleph, there's a tragic story of a man named Navos. Navos lived next door to King Ahav and his wife Izebel, his wicked wife Izebel, the queen. And Ahav wanted to buy Navos's property because it was next door to his and it would expand his vineyard and it would be beautiful. And Navos said no. Navos refused to sell his field to Ahav. Ahav came home all dejected. Izebel saw that Ahav wasn't happy. She asked him about what happened. She realized it was a very simple way to solve this problem. And she put a plan into effect to have Navos framed and executed. V'kachava. Navos was executed, and since he was executed by the government, the king had the right to seize his property. And that's what happened. Ahav got his land, and he was very happy. So, obviously, this is a very wicked act on the part of Ahav and Izebel. But how was it that Navos was killed? So there's a frightening Yalkut Shimoni. The Yalkut Shimoni says that Navos had a beautiful voice. And Navos' voice, he used to go to Yerushalayim on the Regalim. He would sing, he would be the Chazan, he would sing, and people would enjoy his music, enjoy his voice, and it would elevate them. The tefilos that he would daven with the people would elevate their tefillah and elevate their simcha on Yom Tov. And one year he decided not to go. He decided, I'm not in the mood to go, I'm not in the mood to sing. He didn't want to do it. Says the Yalkut Shimoni, that was why he died. That was why he was put to death. Because Hashem gave him a talent, And he said, I don't want to use my talent. It's a frightening thought. Hashem gives us something. Hashem gives us a skill or a place in life or a position of power. We're supposed to use it for Avodas Hashem. And if God forbid we didn't, look at what happened to Navos. So we always have to realize everything that we have, it's because it's supposed to be part of our toolkit to serve Hashem. And if it's something that we don't have, it's because we don't need it. That's the opposite. Shevet HaLevi, they didn't need the field, they didn't get the field. Navos had a voice that was supposed to be used for his Avodas Hashem, and he didn't want to, and there was a punishment. Those are the two sides of the coin. If you have something, you got to use it. And if you don't have it, it's because you don't need to have it. The second point from this parsha, Parsha's Ekev, that I want to make is in Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Aleph, Moshe Rabbeinu is recounting a lot of the incidents that happened to him as the leader of the Jewish people. The Pasuk says, he's reminding them of different episodes. Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Vav. Listen to this Pasuk, and I think if you just listen to the Pasuk, read the Pasuk, you'll see that there's a glaring omission. Va'asher osa l'dosan v'laviram, and that which Hashem did to Dosan and Aviram, b'nei Eliyav ben Ruvain, the sons of Eliyav from Shevet Ruvain, asher patzasa ha'aretz espiha. The earth opened up its mouth, v'tivla'im, and it swallowed them, v'esbateim, v'esaleim, and their house, and their tents, v'eskolayikum asher raglayim, and all the growth that was by their feet, b'karev kol Yisrael, in the middle of the whole, all the Jewish people. So, recounting a famous incident where the earth opened up its mouth and everybody got swallowed. Of course, what's missing is the instigator of the whole incident, the leader of the revolt, Korach. What happened to Korach? The Pasuk in Parshas Korach says, we started out with Korach, Dasan, Aviram, and On ben Peles. We know the Medrash tells us we lost On ben Peles because his wife saved him. Dasan, Aviram, and Korach were eventually swallowed. And yet, when we're recounting the incident, at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, Dasan and Aviram are mentioned, and Korach is not. Now, Korach was the instigator. Why was Korach not mentioned? So I saw, in the name of a beautiful sefer, Maloha HaRoam. The Maloha HaRoam suggests... The Pasuk tells us that B'nei Korach lo mesu. That's the Pasuk. Pasuk says they didn't die. Why not? So Chazal tell us that they did tshuva. They saw that their father was wrong. And at the very end, they did tshuva. And that's why the sons of Korach didn't die. Now we know this because even from Rashi, Rashi mentions this, that Korach saw that Shmuel was going to be a descendant of his, so he thought that he would be victorious over Aaron. But Rashi tells us what he didn't realize was that his sons were going to do tshuva. So Korach's sons do tshuva. So imagine what's going on. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving his farewell address. He's saying goodbye and he's recounting all the incidents that happened through the 40 years in the desert. Who's there? So the answer is all of Klal Yisrael is there. All of Klal Yisrael includes B'nai Korach. The sons of Korach were not wiped out. You see, the whole families of Dasan and Aviram were wiped out. But Korach's sons survived. So Korach's sons were there listening to this speech. Says the Maloha Roim, Moshe Rabbeinu was super sensitive to the feelings of the sons of Korach. And he realized that if he would recount this story and say, Va'asher osa l'Korach l'Dasan v'Aviram, Korach's sons would feel bad. Yes! There's no denying they knew that Korach was wrong. It was proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that Moshe and Aaron were correct. Korach was wrong. Korach deserved the punishment that he got. But it would still hurt their feelings. And for that, Moshe Rabbeinu was so sensitive that when he repeated the story, he left out perhaps the most important detail, but he did it so that he wouldn't hurt their feelings. Can you imagine the sensitivity? And not only that, but think about Moshe himself. Korach tried to overthrow Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership. Korach was a challenge to Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Moshe Rabbeinu could have taken it personally and said, no, I want to rub it in his face. I want to mention I defeated Korach and Hashem showed everybody that Korach was wrong. But that's not what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what? His sons are here. I don't want to hurt their feelings. An unbelievable sensitivity an ability to look beyond himself, to not make it personal, so that when it came to recounting this story, and his sons were there, Korach's sons were there, Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned the whole story and left out the main character just out of sensitivity to the sons of Korach. Those are two profound lessons that we see in this parsha, and hopefully they will inspire us to have that sensitivity and to use our kochos in our avodas Hashem.